Hi, and welcome to the Australian Bitcoin Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wilczynski. On today's show, we will be speaking to Moritz Kaminski from GetAuby. Auby is a Bitcoin Lightning wallet and browser extension that makes it easy to support content creators by donating them Bitcoin using Lightning. So I've played around with it. And I've actually enabled it for this podcast. So if somebody has a compatible podcast player, they can donate to this podcast. Yeah, give me some money. But even, you know, I'm not asking you for handouts, but it's good to experiment and try and play around. I've sent some donations to people just to try it. And I've had a few people already donate a few cents to me. In the show, we explain how to actually set it up and how to get that done. But yeah, it's a pretty cool application, pretty cool thing that they're doing there. So in the show, we will cover Moritz's story and how he got into Bitcoin. We'll talk about what is Auby and how it works, how to use it, how to enable it to receive donations or give donations. We will also talk about the Bitcoin Lightning ecosystem. Moritz has some experience working in VC, but he also created and runs a database of different Bitcoin Lightning projects. So he's very much up to date what's happening then, and we'll have a brief discussion of what he finds interesting. We'll also obviously explain what the Bitcoin Lightning Network is. So if a voice people out there who don't know what it is, don't feel silly, we'll try and explain it. Today's show is brought to you by hardblock.com.au. Hardblock is Australia's oldest Bitcoin-only exchange that makes it easy to set up set-and-forget dollar-cost averaging from your bank account right to your cold storage wallet. If you haven't tried us yet, give us a shot. But let's get on to the show. Hey, hi, Moritz. Welcome to the Australian Bitcoin Podcast. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's been there's been a lot of things happening lately, a lot of excitement in the Bitcoin and crypto space with the FTX collapse. Before we get into the podcast, maybe what are your thoughts on what's happening now?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a pity what's happening there. I think a lot of people got wrecked by having their funds there. But I think it's not really directly related to Bitcoin. So this can happen to any company that operates in this business. The challenge is that we as Bitcoiners, we have to prove actually that we operate reliable businesses, and people can trust our funds, but I think on the other side it's also a good time for building, because there is less noise out there around Bitcoin prices, for example. So it's also beneficial for us as entrepreneurs in this field.
Yeah, I agree. And it's actually interesting because it reinforces a lot of what Bitcoiners were saying. And I run a Bitcoin meetup, and I interact with a lot of kind of newbies and people who are into crypto. You probably do also. And when I was a year and a half ago, I was always telling them, stay away from the shitcoins, don't keep your funds on an exchange. And a lot of them, some people listened, but a lot of people didn't listen. But now I'm seeing what the Bitcoiners were saying was actually correct. And people are moving, are realizing, but you can't keep your Bitcoin on an exchange. You can't keep your crypto on an exchange. And they're also, I've been having a lot of customers come from the shitcoin casinos recently in the last few weeks, come over to our exchange, which is Bitcoin only, which focuses on dollar cost averaging. And I can actually see that people like, okay, I'm done with all this rubbish, and I'm coming over to Bitcoin.
I can understand that. I mean, the fundamentals did not change at all, right? Bitcoin is still running. Bitcoin has been the most stable asset, is the most secure asset, based backed by all these miners out there for more than 10 years now, compared to all the other coins that are in the ecosystem. So there is some real value already behind that. And despite this FTX disaster, Bitcoin is still going. People are still building on Bitcoin. It just makes the network even more resilient, I think. And it's a and the nice thing about Bitcoin is actually that we now have the tools to opt out, right? So we can decide ourselves for ourselves. Okay, we can leave some stash on an exchange, but we can also take that and put that into self-custody. And we don't have to participate in this like traditional financial system anymore.
Exactly. And you know, people also say, I've been hearing some people say, oh, we need regulation. But the whole thing about Bitcoin is you don't need regulation. Bitcoin doesn't need the government. What you need is to hold your Bitcoin in self-custody. And if you have your Bitcoin in self-custody, you don't need regulation, you don't need anything, you don't need the government. That's kind of the whole point of Bitcoin. When people say, oh, we need regulation, I feel like it's people who don't understand what this actual thing was about in the beginning. What's the whole point of this?
Yeah, I totally agree. So for me as a private person, I'm totally independent, right? I can do whatever I want with my Bitcoin. It's a bit tricky from a business perspective, especially if you want to work together with the regulated sector, because then they come to you and say, look, guys, you are not regulated. We don't know how to deal with you. So on a business to business level, it's a bit different, but I totally agree. It's for individuals, you don't need to wait until there is some official like regulation of Bitcoin. It works already today. You can self-custody. You don't need to ask for permission. You can send it over the globe to anyone in the world without any permission, and it works almost instantly.
Yeah, but anyway, we will leave the current news behind us, so we can get into the main topic, which is talking about Aubi and Lightning. But before we get into that, I think it'd be useful for the audience to learn more about you. What's your story? What's your background? And how did you get into Bitcoin?
So for me, I discovered Bitcoin through my work at a university in Switzerland at ETH Zurich in around 2013. I wrote my master thesis about Bitcoin mining and project evaluation with option models and decision trees. Throughout that time, I followed it rather like closely. But I then like shifted a bit to venture capital industry, did some startup investments there for some years. And then I came back to Switzerland, working on digital identities, still at another company. But it was there because I was always following Bitcoin and the recent technical developments. And then then there was suddenly Lightning Network becoming like real. Like there was just always some research papers, but with the mainnet launch, I thought, okay, now it's getting serious. And then that's why I got again super interested in this field. I reached out to some people to try to help them. I worked with Google Ventures, for example. It's a small venture capital fund dedicated to Bitcoin Lightning startups, actually. And I wrote some research articles for them. I built a big database of all the projects that are out there. And yeah, and that's at some point led to Aubi and what we are working on today.
Okay, because I saw that you created this kind of database of over Lightning projects, and you seem to have really been interested in Lightning, that really kind of brought you in, that really seemed to have gotten you very excited. So I'm just wondering why lightning, like why did you find lightning so exciting?
Because it is basically the missing piece that Bitcoin promised us, right? Bitcoin promised us as a, like being a electronic peer-to-peer cash system, but with these 10-minute block times, it is not instant, and it's a bit of a pity. But now we have Lightning actually, and we now all of a sudden have these instant transactions over the globe, basically between me and you on a peer-to-peer basis. So it adds another value proposition basically to Bitcoin. It's not just for storing your wealth and securing your wealth, but it's also you can now use it like for any transactions, regardless of the amount almost. And it's really like now you can use Bitcoin and the storing of value. This is one very, very important use case that is probably has the most traction today. But there's a lot more to that when it comes to using micropayments, for example, on the internet. There's a whole bunch of new use cases that we will see in the next years. And I think Lightning enables all these experiments that we will now do, and then yeah, bring more utility basically into the Bitcoin ecosystem.
I'm guessing a few those in Bitcoin, a lot of people, some Bitcoiners say, oh, that spending Bitcoin doesn't actually matter. It's not for spending, it's just holding. So, and like some people say, oh, we don't even spend Bitcoin if it's in a retail shop. Personally, whenever there's a shop, a retail place that accepts Bitcoin, I always like pay with Bitcoin, and I find that really exciting to pay with Bitcoin. But yeah, some Bitcoiners don't think that's important. But I'm guessing you're somebody who does think that spending, being able to spend Bitcoin is important, but it's part of a function of money, not just holding.
It is. I think a lot of these monetary systems start off like also gold start off with securing your wealth, but they also develop into then use it as a means of payment or for transactions. And I always I also face these arguments of people, but then I say, look, I mean, yeah, you can immediately buy your Bitcoin again and then have the same balance as before if you spend it. And it might not be obvious for people who, if we consider the like normal use cases, going to a supermarket in a developed country, then you can. It's quite seamless to pay with cards there. Maybe they are Bitcoin in the first place, and Lightning does not make a lot of sense, or is not like a lot better. Does not improve the user experience there. But when it comes to areas where payments are not very well adopted because classical payment systems are too expensive. And then, for example, I talk about remittances, or I talk about micropayments, in-app payments, for example. All these places, they can become huge in the future. And this is basically, I think, where Lightning will shine also.
Yeah, I agree. I think both things, like function, money is has both functionalities. It's for spending and for holding, and I think both are equally important. So I completely agree. And I'm just interested a bit more about like your work with Google Ventures. So was that investing in Bitcoin companies or just did they invest in Bitcoin companies or was that just doing the report?
So back then, that was more like a pro bono activity that I did during my full-time job at another venture capital fund. And back then they reached out to me. They were looking for mentors to advise some startups that they wanted to bring into the Google ecosystem. And then we came together and we did some workshops and did the sessions on marketing, sales, financial planning, and so on. Yeah.
Okay, right. And
but maybe now also Google Ventures already invests in Bitcoin startups, or maybe soon.
And you know, the previous venture capital firm you worked at, I think, was it Bosch? Did you
Bosch was the company that I joined after that.
Okay.
It was a German based fund in Munich, and we did early stage investments in very tech focused startups back then. And at Bosch, I worked on digital identities. We did also some blockchain projects. But really experimented just with different technologies there.
Okay. Right. Okay. I understand. So before, like, we get into the, so now you work at Alitu, which is what the main thing we're going to discuss. But before we discuss it, because we're going to be talking about Lightning a lot, and maybe a lot of people listening to this probably know what Lightning is, but there's some who still don't understand it correctly. So maybe you can just give a quick explanation of what is the Lightning Network.
The Lightning Network is a network of payment channels that sits on top of the Bitcoin blockchain. And it basically uses smart contracts to establish these off-blockchain payment channels between pairs of users. And once these payment channels are established, the funds can be transferred between them almost instantly. So this is one big advantage of Lightning, for example, compared to typical payment rails. And the nice thing about the Lightning Network is also that you don't need to create channels between all users. So for instance, if a user A has a channel with user B, and user C has a channel with user B, but not with A, then you can still send funds from A to C here, because they're all connected through different channels. And that makes it more efficient, right? You don't need to sync with every participant in the network. And because also only the opening and the closing of payment channels are recorded on the core Bitcoin blockchain, the entire network can move also faster, right? So and on top, the Lightning Network transaction can also be more private than those made on the main blockchain, because on the main blockchain everything is recorded like forever, right? But for Lightning transactions, only the opening and the closing of the transactions are actually recorded, and in between you can, like, almost like as long as you want, you can transfer funds between these channel partners, and only if some of them does not have enough liquidity in the channel anymore, or is not online anymore, then you can consider closing it. But it does not matter; it can go on for several months, for example. And that's basically Lightning Network, and yeah, it works quite nicely since 2018 already, since the mainnet launch.
Yeah, we're actually lucky in Adelaide, and we have one of mine Lightning developers, Rusty Russell, is from here, from Adelaide. So we're pretty lucky to have him, and he sometimes shares his knowledge with us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a super exciting technology. And it's moving so fast, it's getting better, like, really on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of innovation happening in Lightning. I think because also Bitcoin, the actual base layer Bitcoin, people try to, the philosophy is to keep it secure, because we're dealing with money, so there's not much changes, and changes is very slow. But with Lightning, it's a layer on top of Bitcoin. So any faults of Lightning don't impact the base layer. So because of that, there's much more room for innovation. We don't need consensus on Lightning the way we do on the base layer. So I think there's a lot more room for innovation and experimentation. So that's, I think, why it's so exciting, and that's probably why you got into it also. There's a lot more that can be done faster. With Bitcoin, yeah, with Bitcoin code development, things like that, it's all very, it can take years to get anything, which is good. It should be that way, but yeah, it can be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, can totally agree to that. And also, more and more developers actually realize that. So that what limited us like 2 years ago is not relevant anymore because people came up with solutions in between and they get adopted quite quickly. And this is how we can compare to other payment systems. We can compete better now against alternative currencies, for example. And that's the big benefit that Lightning brings to Bitcoin ecosystem.
Right, and one of the most exciting projects that I've seen on the Lightning Network is your very own what you guys are doing at Aubi. I've been using it for the last few weeks, and it works, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, you can actually like now I've put the podcast on using Aubi. So if you use a podcast player, you can actually donate. You can make donations to this episode or any episodes. You can pay with sats to donate. If you wanna fund me a beer, I'll be grateful. So anybody can donate. But yeah, it's cool to experiment and try on. But I'll let you explain what is Aubi. You do a better explanation than me. So what is Aubi, and what are you guys doing there?
So I was actually always fascinated, probably as many of us, on the topic of how can we create this native payment or native payments for the internet. And that's one big reason why we started Aubi. Aubi is a open source project. It's a one part is a browser extension. And with this browser extension, we want to bring Bitcoin basically to the internet for these native payments. And this is one part. We have at the core of everything is the Aubi Lightning account, or it's a Lightning wallet basically. And around that, we created different services. One service is the browser extension that I just mentioned. Another service is basically a podcaster wallet that you are using, Daniel, right now for your podcast, for example, to receive payments instantly from any listener across the globe. And then we also have the other publisher services like a WordPress plugin. And the third part is really also very developer focused, an API. So if you are building an app, you can integrate Aubi Lightning wallets into your app and enable Bitcoin payments directly within your ecosystem of users, basically. So these are the main topics that we are working on at Aubi. But yeah, it actually all started with the browser extension that is where we are basically known for today.
Yeah, the way I've been using it and the way I saw it in the last few weeks was there's the Aubi wallet, and you create a wallet and you can put sats, send sats or receive sats from it. And by default, it's like a custodial, like you guys hold custody of that wallet. And then when you have that wallet, you install a browser extension. And then if a website has a bit of code, any website, it's very easy to install that code. Anybody, if you've got a WordPress website or whatever, you can place this little code. And when somebody with that extensions goes to your website, they'll be able to donate to you. So it's very
Exactly.
easy to integrate, and it's very easy to use. And you can
Yeah,
also
that's a
do it on
very well.
Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So this is one big use case that we enable with the Aubi browser extension. I love this because our thinking here is we don't want to create a separate ecosystem. No, we want to bring Lightning to to existing platforms. We want to infuse these platforms with Bitcoin payments, basically, because that's where the main usage is happening today, where content consumption is happening. It's not happening on a different platform. It's happening like on YouTube, on Twitter, on these big social media platforms, basically. And what we can do with Alvi now, we can bring these Bitcoin payments to these places, basically. And you described Alvi pretty nicely, actually. So what you could do as a user to start using Alvi, you can, for example, download the browser extension. It's available for Chrome and Firefox. And then you can connect your a Alvi wallet that you create within the browser extension and spend from an Alvi wallet. But you can also use it in a self-custodial way, for example, with your Raspi Blitz node or with your Umbrel node, or you can connect Bitcoin Beach wallet and other wallets to the Alvi browser extension, and then through the extension spend on different websites, for example. And the idea is really Alvi can be your gateway to all these Bitcoin websites, Lightning websites out there. So it's really like the bridge between your wallet and the websites that the browser extension builds, and you decide which wallet you want to connect and from which wallet you want to spend. So we want to give as much as flexibility to the user here. And one of the use cases is really like support. You can support your favorite content creator on Twitter, on YouTube, and on several other social media platforms like Reddit or Medium, Bitcoin TV, for example. All that you need to do as a creator or normal consumer user of this platform is just put a Lightning address with a Lightning emoji in front into the bio of your profile, and Alvi will detect that and then ask the user to send some Bitcoin to this profile, basically.
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty cool also. So I put that on my Twitter. So basically I put there's a Lightning icon, Australian Bitcoin Podcast at getalvi.com. And obviously if somebody would get their own kind of domain when for their own Alvi account. And when you have that, when anybody browses with the Alvi app, they'll see my Twitter profile has that line, and it will automatically allow them to donate if they want to. So it's very easy to use.
Yeah, this is the idea, right? We built Alvi not for the hardcore Bitcoin techies. We built Alvi basically for everyone. And right now we are still at the stage where we address like people who are familiar with Bitcoin, but I'm very optimistic that we can like do the next step within the next year or so, and directly address people, basically no coiners who are new to mm-hmm. Bitcoin, because we want to make the payment process on the internet as seamless as possible. For example, you can also create allowances or budget within Alvi, and then you can really enable these one-click payments, because Alvi does not ask you a second time to confirm the payment, but it just click on one button on the website and off goes the payment, basically. So, and this is where we want to go with Alvi.
Yeah, I think it's very important to get kind of Noicoiner adoption, and I hope you guys get that, because like sometimes there is a bit of a danger. I'm not sure if you agree with me, but these projects, like that, they don't become just a kind of a Bitcoiner ecosystem where it's only Bitcoiners kind of using it for ideological reasons. I think the true test is when people who don't really care about Bitcoin but they use it out of their personal need, out of their personal self-interest. Yes. That's kind of the key thing, the key jump. I think you agree with me.
100%. So I think to really grow the usage of Bitcoin, we have to make this jump as you described, like, and be able to address people who don't care about Bitcoin, but they want to use a service because the service provides them more value than before, right? And Bitcoin can be the tool for that, because suddenly we have a very, very efficient network of like transaction network of value, real value on the internet that we don't have today. Because, for example, if you are a creator and you want to accept payments, there's always these typically 3% fee that you have to pay plus 30 cents US dollars also. And it's quite a lot if you ask for a $5 subscription per month. That's basically like almost 10% of fees just go away to these payment processors. And here Bitcoin can become super interesting, because the fees for Bitcoin are a lot lower. Everyone can participate. So I, for example, I don't need to use PayPal. I don't need to have a Stripe account. I can put on any Lightning wallet as a creator, and on the other side, the user can use any other Lightning wallet. You don't have to be on the same application, and that's the beauty of the Lightning network. It is open, right? And just on the edges, we can then provide services to a creator, for example, this instant exchange to another currency, and under the hood, like, is Bitcoin works, Bitcoin is working, and then both sides don't actually realize, okay, they are running on Bitcoin, because we have dedicated service on the edges that make sure they have a great user experience, and it could be, for example, instant swaps to other currencies or whatever.
Yeah, going back to something you mentioned a bit earlier about the like. So you said you can connect. So I haven't. You can connect your own wallet, your own Lightning wallet, to the Albi wallet. I haven't done that. So the reason I haven't done that is because I'm thinking like the Albi wallet. You guys hold custody, but I'm kind of okay with it because it's a small amount. And so yeah, I'm all right with that from a security perspective. And I also worry, like, I mean, obviously I trust you guys, but I think if I connect to my own personal wallet, my other Lightning wallet, like for example I use Zeus, and because it's connected like to my node, so it's actually got some channels on it, so it's not a huge amount, but it's got like a few hundred dollars worth of Bitcoin. So I believe if I would connect Albi to my Zeus, that's another potential kind of point of exposure for my wallet. Like if you guys had malware or something like that, then my Lightning wallet could be compromised. So I don't know, am I thinking correct? Like, is it important to connect? Am I missing something? Or like, is it all right the way I use it? Like with you guys holding custody with small amounts, and then if I get a large amount, I can just move it back to my Lightning wallet. Like, is that okay? Am I doing it wrong
Totally.
or right?
I mean, that's why we provide this flexibility, right? So unfortunately, the Albi wallet itself is still a custodial wallet, but this is just for now. This is not where we want to end up. So we have an idea how we can create a non-custodial wallet out of that, but we optimize for the best user experience here, and you get that right now at least with a custodial wallet. But we are confident that we can also get there with a self-custodial setup. But you can use the Albi browser extension today already in a non-self-custodial setup with your own node, with your own Lightning node, basically, that you connect. And that's also why we built, and it's important to understand, the extension is a fully client-side application. So there is no connection to a server or so. If you use it with your own like with your own system, with your own node, basically. So, and it also comes without any tracking software, and there is no connection to any organization also that might ask for your data, basically. So there is no data exchange with us And what you do is, as a user, you only trust the software with your data. And it's like, for example, you, Daniel, you connected Zeus to your Lightning node. It's a bit like this because you also trust Zeus, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You also trust Zeus with your macaroons, for example, and theoretically, also this app can be compromised, right? It is like, yeah, you don't have to trust us. This is the good thing with the Albi browser extension, us as Albi organization, but you still have to trust something, right? And in our case, this is the software. And it is basically any like as you would trust any mobile app with your funds today. It's very much comparable, and but there's also the reason why a lot of these wallets and this as is Albi are open source. So there is a chance for everyone at least to audit the software and see, okay, does it work as it supposed to work, basically.
And I guess I just thought that another benefit if somebody does connect their own wallet to Albi, I'm guessing there would be a privacy benefit, because if I use your custodial wallet, like let's say I want to donate to some extremist political organizations or whatever, and if I use your custodial wallet, I guess you guys would know that. But if I use my own wallet connected to Albi, yeah, would there be a privacy benefit or?
There would be a bit for sure. So we, because the Lightning Network itself is way more privacy preserving than the Open Bitcoin Network. So also us as an operator of a custodial wallet, we don't know where the funds end up. If we did, we don't do it now. If we did KYC on you, for example, then at least we know, okay, it's you, the person who sends the funds, but we do not necessarily know where the funds end up. So it's still not comparable to a traditional, like a fiat banking app. But you will have even more privacy if you connect your own wallet and your own node, and the funds then don't flow through Albi. That is true. And also one thing to mention here is that you can decide yourself like which permissions you want to give to the Albi extension from your node. Theoretically, you can also just give them just read permissions, for example. Then you cannot send funds, but this is then also like an additional level of security and control. And I believe that there will be more granular permission systems developed in the future, where you can say, okay, maybe I just, the maximum that can be spent through Albi is a certain amount. So then you can also make sure that if someone else compromises your browser, for example, for whatever reason, that only the funds to a certain limit are exposed to that attack, for example.
Okay, so am I understanding this correctly? So I would be able to set that limit on my own node? Like, so I would, is that correct?
I don't think that is possible today yet, but I think there will be developments in the future that allow a more granular permission system for Lightning nodes and access to funds.
Okay, that sounds really good then. Because that way I could, for example, connect Albi to my node, but say I would give like Albi permission. Okay, Albi only has permission to spend, you know, $200 worth of Bitcoin per day. So I kind of limit, if I could set that on my node, I think that would be a cool thing. But that's not up to you guys. That seems like the actual Lightning node developers. Yeah. But if that's happening, yeah, then that seems like a cool feature.
That's true, but yeah, but this is really like, I mean, Albi is not comparable to your Bitcoin on-chain wallet, right? It's more like your savings account. Albi is your spendings account. So you can put the money into a spendings account that you also spend on a monthly or weekly basis. And therefore, there is not so much at risk compared to an account where you have all your life savings in, right? And also because of like these networks really work so instantly on the Lightning on the Lightning network, all these transactions, you can easily send some funds into the Albi wallet. If this gives you like a setup that is where you feel more comfortable with, instead of connecting your own node, then yeah, then feel free to use the Albi wallet as you do right now, and constantly refill it if you spend from the Albi wallet.
Another
benefit to that is, yes, it is custodial, but we also make sure that you have the best payment experience on the internet. This means that we take care of liquidity management, create channels, see that our channels are well balanced, and that payments really happen instantly.
So another thing on your website, you guys use this term value for value. So what does that mean?
So the idea behind value for value is actually it's actually quite old, and it's very established already. I mean, if you go through the city and you see some actor performing something on the street, what you could do is, at this very moment, you can look at this person, and then you receive basically entertainment. What is a sort of it's value that you get, right? And then you can decide yourself how much do you want to contribute back to this person, right? This person does not ask you, okay, you cannot watch until you pay, but it asks you, okay, after my performance, feel free, whatever you feel like, feel comfortable with paying me back, and show value, basically, right? Because I gave value to you. It's up to you how you perceive this, how you evaluate this in terms of money, and give whatever back you are willing to give back. And so this is quite, it's called basking. It's quite an established concept already. And what we can do now with Lightning is also we have this, we can bring this basically to the digital world, because now we can give people immediately value back for what we basically consume online. And consuming digital content is a great use case for that, because it does not actually make sense to put it behind paywalls, because information naturally wants to be free, right? You can always copy it and distribute it yourself. So if you buy it, and if it's nice, then there's just one person who might buy it, but this person then might like copy it 1,000 times and distribute it again. So it does not make sense for some types of content to put it behind barriers of prices, for example. And that's why where value for value comes in, because you can suddenly put content out there, but also give people the chance to contribute back to you with these value payments. And Lightning seems to be established as the go-to payment technology for this use case.
Okay. So another thing I was wondering is, since looking at Albi, I realized there's also another app. I don't know much about it. You probably know more, a Fountain app, which seems to do something similar. Are they like your competitors?
So Fountain is also a podcast player, right? So what you could do is, they make it very nicely, is that you can listen to podcasts and support your favorite content creator or podcaster, basically, with with Bitcoin payments. You can set up streams there, so you can really pay per minute, for example. And this is awesome. I think this is an awesome use case also for Lightning, where I'm super excited about this. This really like this payment streaming, so money flows instantly every minute into the wallet of a person. But you can also send boostergrams. So for example, you can pay a person and send a message to this podcaster, for example. So this is what Fountain allows. But on the other side, You also need you need to podcast. The podcaster needs to have a wallet to receive the payments, and this is also where Albi comes in, for example, because now you can use your Albi wallet also as a podcaster wallet and receive these streaming payments, or receive these booster grams that come in from all your listeners, for example.
Okay, because what I'm trying to get at with the questions is, I'm wondering, is the idea for these systems to be interoperable, is it supposed to be some kind of like open protocol that you guys are doing, or is this just like a Albi thing? As in, is there an idea if somebody puts on the website, if they put the kind of like the Albi widget or whatever you call it, the bit of code, is the idea that only the Albi wallet will be able to recognize that, or is it kind of the idea to create some kind of system where other, not Albi, but other kind of wallets will be able to recognize it, and also with a podcast. So Fountain doesn't come with its own wallet. Okay, I didn't know that. So Fountain, you have to connect a different wallet, Albi. I'm a bit confused, but maybe you can help me explain. I'm not sure if you.
Yeah, sure.
My basically, I'm trying to think: is the idea to kind of have like an ecosystem of interoperable thing, or is it going to be kind of like an Albi only thing?
Yeah, I think this is very, very important to understand that because we build on the Lightning Network, we per se have already an open network, and it would be a pity if we basically slash this value proposition of an open network with then proprietary standards, basically. And this is not what we want. We can only be successful as a community if we all build also on open standards. And the things that you mentioned here, for example, a RSS feed for a podcaster is an open standard. The Lightning meta tag that Albi detects on websites in YouTube channel, for example, with a Lightning address. These are all open standards that every wallet, every other browser extension can implement as well. And both we, Fountain, both like Albi and Fountain, we implement the official standards basically of RSS, so of these RSS-based content distribution, but also of Lightning payments, basically. And you as a podcaster, you can also, I think Fountain also provides wallets to you in their app, or you can use a Albi wallet, for example, to receive the payments. So also here is interoperability. So you can now send funds from Fountain to an Albi wallet, and theoretically also back. Actually, that also works. And you don't have to be on the same app, and this is so nice. What is so great about the Lightning network, that all these apps are interoperable, and there are also other apps out there, right? You can use as a listener, you can use Breeze, for example. You can use Podverse, for example, to support your favorite podcaster with Bitcoin payments, basically. This is just very important that we keep this interoperability going here.
Okay, yeah, so that's good then. Because I think it is important for it to be interoperable and open, because that way you can gain more adoption and the whole ecosystem grows, and that way probably everybody, Albi and everybody else benefits, the bigger the ecosystem, and the bigger, the more traction there is. So that's good that it is open and interoperable.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to understand that we build wallet infrastructure. We don't want to be a podcast hosting company. We provide our wallet so that a podcaster can receive payments, and ideally, you as a podcaster, you can use that with your podcast hosting company that you're used to. So that's why, for example, we go to companies and say, look, Ali2, for example, do you want to integrate podcaster wallets into your dashboard? We give you the infrastructure, you can connect over an API, and then Daniel can receive payments directly in his wallet, but on your dashboard it is visible, for example. And and this is the thing, because we need to make it as easy as possible for people to use these payment rails, and that's why we need to bring it there where they are today, right? Where they do their daily business, for example. And you can integrate a Albi wallet either into a podcast hosting dashboard, for example, or you can put that into a podcasting listening app like Podverse, for example. This is up to the developers who implement this API.
Okay. Something I wanted you to explain is if for somebody like me, like for a few weeks ago, I had an iPhone and I listened to my podcast on the default iPhone podcast player. So if it's somebody like that and they're trying to figure out, well, I want to listen to podcasts and be able to donate to them using Sats, like what steps do they take? If somebody doesn't know, like how do they set that up?
There are different ways to do that. First of all, you need to see, okay, which podcast app does support these payments. And there are several out there. I already gave some examples. It's Fountain, obviously. They allow you as a listener to send Bitcoin to your favorite podcaster, but it's also Breeze, for example, who does that. It's Curiocaster. It's Podverse who does that. And there are even several more who allow listeners to send Bitcoin and support their favorite podcaster. And once you access the app, then as a next step, you have to get some Bitcoin, right, to be able to send them out. So for Fountain, for example, you already get a little bit when you listen. For Breeze, I think you can buy directly Bitcoin in their app. And also, because you can connect your Albi wallet to Podverse, and you can buy Bitcoin directly within your Albi wallet on getalbi.com, you also have directly access to Bitcoin on the Lightning Network in Podverse, for example. And you do not have to do several jumps from different Bitcoin exchanges and then send it over to your podcaster app. You can now, a lot of them already provide that directly within the app. It's not always the cheapest option. So if you are familiar with Bitcoin exchanges, I can still recommend to go over them, because it's a bit cheaper, but it is less convenient.
Yeah. So I'll explain to the listeners how I done it. So basically, the first step is obviously get an account with Albi and get an Albi wallet, and then send some sats to the Albi wallet. And then you need like a podcast player which supports value for value. And I think on your website, you guys have a list of podcast players which do. But the one I started using is Podverse, which actually seems much better than the Apple podcast player. I wish I switched earlier. But I used Podverse, and down there, if you go to settings, there will be a value for value option, and you simply connect to your Albi wallet. So it was all very quick and very simple. And then when adding a podcast to my library in the Podverse player, I can donate sats to them, and it works, and it's very cool and very easy.
And the question is then, how do you top up your Albi wallet with some sats, right? And there, one way is to go through an exchange, send it over to your Albi wallet, or log into getalbi.com and use a MoonPay widget there to buy some Bitcoin, and then you can do these in-app exchange directly in Albi.
Yeah, and I can't remember now, but with Albi, do I have to send Lightning, or can I send Bice like Bitcoin and it's converted to Lightning?
You get a on-chain Bitcoin address.
Okay.
Or you have a Lightning address that you can send to.
Okay. So yeah, basically you just need to buy Bitcoin on chain. So if you're in Australia, you can get it from hardblock.com.au. That's our exchange. So that's that's the place I would
Exactly, and then send
recommend
it over.
it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I also wanted, because you're involved in Lightning, I wanted to get your opinion on other Lightning projects, what you find interesting. But before we move on to that topic, is there anything else, like any final thing you want to say about Albi or what you guys are doing?
No,
Anything
I
we
think
missed?
I think we talked about the browser extension that is like quite versatile. The API that you can connect to different apps, for example. And yeah, in general, all these publisher tools that we give to creators. For example, there's also a WordPress plugin. If you have a WordPress blog, you can add that, have paywalls there, have a donation widget if you want, for example. So this is really like we want to make it as easy for publishers as possible to receive Bitcoin payments and earn easier than they can today and cheaper. But that's it basically.
Okay, great. So, yeah, since you are involved in Lightning so much and you done, I saw you had a project, like what you mentioned, you kept a database of different Lightning projects. Visit your website, people can have a look on that. I'll put in the links afterwards. But yeah, maybe you can give the audience, share your opinion on what other Lightning projects you find interesting, which ones, especially from what I find interesting, what do you think is getting the most traction? And what do you think is closest to bridging that kind of gap of going just from Bitcoiners to, going outside that to no coiners?
Yeah. Well, I think one use case we already talked about, this is all the payment streaming and podcasting that is happening, and this will and we will see next year, we will see another step to that where you can then not only send value for value payments, but you can also sell subscriptions. I believe you will be able to sell premium podcasts over Bitcoin. And I think this is really like the first use case that goes beyond just pure the pure Bitcoin community, right? But if we talk about a Lightning Bitcoin application, what I find interesting, I think what is in general like a pattern that I find promising is because the whole onboarding to Bitcoin is still quite a hassle. Not everyone wants to open an account on an exchange, for example, or knows how to bring funds from an exchange into a wallet to spend it there. So there is slowly this pattern of, okay, I reward my users with sats. When they use the app, for example, when they confirm their email address, for example, when they do some comments, when or different actions in an app, then they can then they earn some sats and they can spend it directly again. And by that, apps can now create these small circular economies directly within them. And increase engagement. And with increased engagement, you also can increase the retention of your users within this app. And doesn't really matter what type of industry this is in, but this pattern I think is very, very promising. It's basically a new tool that you have as a developer to create to acquire users and create more engagement among your users. And you see that, for example, in Fountain today. You see that also on Stacker, Stacker.news, what is like Reddit style with Bitcoin payments, and several more apps are out there that implement a similar mechanism of distributing sats and allowing, but also allowing people to spend sats anymore. So these type of apps, I'm very, very optimistic that we will see a lot of more, a lot more of them, and also more activity within these apps. But yeah, no, in general, I mean, there's so much popping up in Lightning that's incredible. So for example, there is also Bolt.fun for people who are interested in trying out different Lightning apps. It's a great community.
Bolt.fun.
Bolt.fun, yes, exactly. Okay. It's a great community of Bitcoin web applications. You can read up a lot of blog posts there, for example, but or just access different apps there and try out and see what you like. And it's really incredible to see how many apps have been developed throughout the last year. And I assume that we're just like we are very like in the starting phase of something big here.
So there was a very recent, I can see it on Bolt.fun, there was that recent Legends of Lightning tournament. Did you follow mm-hmm. that? Did you
yes.
know? Okay, did you
yeah,
find
this was, so there was a big shout out also to the organizers actually to Ed and John's and their team. It was a like 1.5 months or almost 2 months hackathon with a lot of like sub events, side projects, side events that were happening during that time, and you could form a team and work on sign up and then submit it. Like there was beginning of December to be eligible for three Bitcoin of prize money, and this is quite a lot. And we see I think more than 70 project submissions there, and as Albi, we contributed with several talks about how to integrate Lightning payments in your apps, so more on an educational side, more like workshop style side, to help developers build on Lightning. And we also contributed hands-on to some projects there. For example, there was one that's called Thunder Feeds, where we use Lightning to enable podcast hosts to sell premium podcasts through Lightning payments. We also helped, for example, there was the winner actually, Lightsatz. We helped them to bring Lightning to their application. It's a quite nice application that allows you to onboard no coiners with gifts, with Bitcoin gifts. Like you can send them $5 of Bitcoin, but you don't lose them. If they don't sign up for this app and don't withdraw them, you receive the funds back. So this is basically a no lose tipping and onboarding of friends into Bitcoin. What is quite nice, they won, and we also helped them a bit. So this is how we contributed to Legends of Lightning.
Yeah, it seems like the Legends of Lightning tournament seems pretty cool. I only heard about it recently, but now I'm reading the website and it seems it's kind of an ongoing thing. So it says there's quarterly hackathons. So it seems like a good place if somebody does want to get involved. And I know like if they have development skills, but not only developers. I looked at some teams, the teams are composed of developers and kind of people with more business and other type of skills. So yeah, it seems like a good way to get involved, join a team or create a team and create a project. And yeah, seems very
definitely
exciting.
So I can really encourage everyone who wants to contribute to projects, because it's a great chance to learn more about the technology, but it's also a great chance to build up your own network with other projects out there. And maybe at some point you have the chance to join like a Bitcoin company, for example. And it really doesn't matter if you're a developer, a designer, marketeer, or business developer. There's a directory, you can fill in your profile information there and start interacting. And the first step is always, I think, start using these tools, and you learn already so much. And then people, as we, for example, Albi, we appreciate so much feedback from users. And this is like, it's a small thing, but it's so valuable. And it would be, also quite low barriers to do that for any person of any background, basically. And if you you can also send me an email, for example, to moritz@getabi.com, if you wonder how you can get into the space, how you can support projects. Maybe I can give you some context there. I can direct you what can be done. I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Moritz, for coming on the podcast, and thanks for all the work you guys are doing at Albi, trying to grow the Bitcoin ecosystem. And it's important because, like here, everything, like for me, Bitcoin is about freedom. And when we're doing that, we're helping people achieve freedom all over the world. I believe it's a good cause. So, yeah, thank you for being part of the fight and for that cause and growing Bitcoin and Lightning.
So thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, so you already mentioned your email. I'll put your email in the links. Is there anything else, and where people can find you? Anything? What's the best place?
We have, so obviously getalbi.com is our website. We have Twitter profile at getalbi, and a Telegram channel at what is t.me/getalbi. I think these channels are regularly checked by us. We provide usually instantly feedback, and are happy to interact with anyone there. And yeah, at the end, Albi is an open source project, so we welcome any contributor anytime.
Okay. Thanks, Moritz, and talk to you next time.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. Appreciate it a lot. It was awesome.